This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. One of the goals of the Affordable Care Act was to give more people access to health care at a lower cost. In North Carolina, 380,000 people enrolled, and more than 90% received subsidies to help pay their premiums. But the state's largest insurer, Blue Cross and Blue Shield, says the cost of these plans is outpacing the revenue they generate. The company is requesting a rate increase of more than 34% in 2016. The request will be reviewed by the state's Insurance Commission. Joining us now is Triangle Business Journal reporter Jason DeBruin. Welcome back, Jason.
Hi, Frank. Nice to speak with you.
Blue Cross and Blue Shield initially said they wanted a rate increase of 26%. Now they want something more than 33%, 34%. Why?
So I'm a business journalist, as you know, and to me this comes down to the bottom line. They spent more in healthcare claims than they took in healthcare premiums. So when the expenses outweigh your revenues, you have to figure out a way to increase those revenues to match the expenses, and so that's what they're planning on doing. I can give you some hard numbers real quick. In terms of healthcare claims for Blue Cross's Affordable Care Act patient population, which, as you mentioned, is about 380,000 people, total healthcare costs came in at about $1.65 billion last year. So 1.65. What they took in premiums, $1.18 billion. So it's less. So they're running in the red there, and so, you know, they have to try to make some more money.
And this rate increase we're talking about is for ACA premium holders, right?
Exactly, and that's a good distinction for everybody out there. This particular rate we're talking about are for those who bought insurance through the healthcare.gov exchanges, and even more specifically, for those who bought from Blue Cross and Blue Shield of North Carolina, which is the majority of people in North Carolina, but certainly not the all of them.
We're navigating new terrain here under the ACA, and so the actuaries at all these insurance companies are having to guess at premiums as they anticipate this flood of new patients, many of whom have gone untreated for a long time. Where was the disconnect? Where did the error happen?
Well, it basically turns out that people tended to just simply be sicker and have more touch points with the healthcare system at higher costs than Blue Cross anticipated. You see this in a couple ways. You mentioned the people who have sort of this pent-up demand. These are the folks who maybe had not had health insurance for 5 or 10 years. Now they do have health insurance. They go see a doctor. The doctor says, you've had chronic diseases that have gone untreated for many years, need to get you in the hospital and treat it. That's a big cost. But the other one that we're seeing, and this was one that we really had not anticipated, is that we're seeing more people go into the emergency rooms. And this is something that you and I have talked about in the past. Emergency room care, as people are becoming aware, is just incredibly expensive and more expensive really than it needs to be. And so what you're seeing is people, instead of going to the urgent care, instead of maybe going untreated as they were when they didn't have health insurance, now they have health insurance and they think, I get a cut, I get a sprain, let me go to the emergency room. And so you're seeing an increase in ER visits when, in fact, we were hoping to see a decrease.
Well, yeah, that's what was not supposed to happen. So part of the rationale behind the ACA was emergency room visits are expensive for all of us. We're all paying that cost when that happens. And people without insurance go there. So why don't we give them insurance so that they can see urgent care or they can see their primary? But you're saying that just didn't happen. People with these new plans didn't know to do that, or?
We don't quite know yet. There are some theories out there, and the one theory is that just we sort of thought that there were a lot of people who didn't have health insurance that were going to the ERs. And now certainly that is happening. You'll see hospitals report this in their charity care figures where somebody with no insurance comes in, they're not on Medicaid, they receive care in the ER, then they're discharged, and the hospital eats that cost. So certainly that is happening, has happened, will continue to happen. But what we had anticipated is that a lot of those people would now become covered and get health insurance and then ideally get plugged into a primary care network, go to the urgent cares more often. But in fact, we aren't seeing that.
Now, the other side we should have anticipated. We know that there were people who are uninsured who had chronic illnesses. When they suddenly show up for the first time in 5 or 10 years or maybe ever, this is going to be expensive. So we should know that there was going to be a spike in cost. But ultimately, the plan was and the hope was for ACA that if you get folks, particularly with chronic illnesses, under control and treated, over time, the costs for all of us go down.
Yeah, the phenomenon you're talking about is what's referred to as sort of that plateau effect. And yes, the sort of the initial spike was it would go up as these people, you know, go in for the treatments that they should have maybe been getting for the past 5 years. But then after that initial wave, it will plateau. Unfortunately, what we're seeing is that also isn't happening, mm-hmm. and that, in fact, we're still just steadily climbing up. Now, can you argue we're right on the cusp of a plateau? It might happen next year. It might happen even, I don't know, next month. Who knows? Fine, you can make that argument philosophically, but in looking at the numbers, it just simply hasn't happened
yet. It's taking longer because certainly we have the data on people who are under control, and those costs are lower right. than if you're not, and if you're having to access on an emergency basis or if you're not showing up for work, all the other costs to the economy. But as you say, it hasn't happened yet and certainly not as early as anticipated. Well, let's talk about what happens. This has to go to the Insurance Commission in the state of North Carolina for approval. So we don't know yet if it's going to go through. But if there were a 34% average rate increase for ACA, you got 90% of people in North Carolina now who are receiving subsidies. What happens to them? I mean, will insurance become unaffordable for some people? What happens?
That's certainly a fear. A way to tie this back maybe to the broader North Carolinian base here is that at the end of the day, our tax money is going to subsidize these people. It's interesting. In North Carolina, you mentioned 90. It's actually 92% of the people that qualify for Affordable Care Act plans also qualify for a subsidy. That's among the highest in the entire nation. Furthermore, people here qualify for a higher dollar amount than in many other states as well. So in North Carolina, this actually has a pretty big impact on the taxpayer. Now, the way the subsidies are measured, it's a complicated formula I won't get into, but it's basically a total dollar amount. So you put in your income and it factors a dollar amount that you can then apply to a bronze, silver, gold plan, whatever you want to. That subsidy is tied to the second lowest silver plan. All that means is that if the premium rates do go up, your subsidy will also go up. So it won't go up at the same rate. So mm-hmm. your premiums that you pay are also going to go up, but the subsidy also then does go up. So, you know, you can really say that this would be a cost increase on not only the people who buy Affordable Care Act insurance, but also all the taxpayers.
All right. And then you would, as somebody covered under ACA, still have that choice. You get your dollar amount. You have your choice of plans. If you want to pick a more expensive one, you go into your pocket and pay the difference, and you're still going to probably pay a little bit more next year.
That's exactly right.
What about other insurance companies? You're talking about Blue Cross and Blue Shield. What about the other? Blue Cross and Blue Shield, I think, has the lion's share of the market.
They do. So there's close to 500,000 people in all of North Carolina that are buying ACA insurance. About 380,000 of them are from Blue Cross Blue Shield. But there are others. Coventry, which is part of Aetna, and United Health are the other two. They have also requested rate increases, but more on the order of about 15% to 20%. So, you know, certainly a sizable increase. Don't mean to downplay those increases, but not to the level that Blue Cross is seeing. And that's, I think that has somewhat to do with just simply the sheer number of people that are in their networks, right? I mean, when you look at Blue Cross's loss, right, it's in the, you know, it's in the hundreds of millions of dollars at United's and Coventry's. The total dollar figure wouldn't be as high just simply because it's fewer people.
Blue Cross and Blue Shield has said that it's going to introduce something called narrow networks to help reduce the cost. Tell us about those.
So these narrow networks, I just personally believe, are going to be a pretty big wave of future of health insurance in the future for everybody. But what they simply are is getting you plugged in to a network of physicians that is more narrow than you previously had. Now, so you'll say to me, okay, so are you restricting someone's healthcare choices? Well, yes, you are. But to be clear, I think the term narrow actually maybe needs to go through a bit of a PR scrub because it's really not that narrow. Basically, what it means is that instead of having the option to go to all of the doctors that are in the Duke network and all of the doctors that are in the UNC network, you will have to choose one or the other. Now, the benefit here is that you're in one healthcare system, so they can coordinate your care a little bit better, ideally reducing the cost. The benefit to you is that because you're seeing the same doctors, they get to know you, the primary care chats with the specialists, so they provide you better care. And then because of the hospital networks being able to reduce their costs, they can then reduce the cost of the insurer, ultimately, hopefully, reducing the cost to you. I know this sort of sounds like pie in the sky, what I just described, but I mean, in theory, it is sort of a win across the board.
Yeah, but it does get to one of the ultimate goal of ACA, which is to lower. The United States of America has the highest healthcare cost in the entire world, or the developed world anyway, and they rise faster than any other developed country by a large factor. And so the hope was, let's bring that down and in line with the rest of the developed world. One of the things we're able to do now is, because of these metrics and because of these changes, insurance companies, providers are all having to rethink how they do things, and we're getting some better metrics, some better reporting.
Yeah, absolutely, we are. And I've said this now for going on 3 or 4 years, I think probably the number one best thing that we have gotten out of the Affordable Care Act, frankly, has nothing to do with any healthcare policies. It just has to do with, we sort of understand and have a better idea of how much we're paying for healthcare. Part of that is because there's just simply more reporting that's required. That applies to insurance companies. That applies to hospitals. It applies to pharmaceutical companies. So we really just, as a collective, have a better understanding of how much we're actually paying, which at the end of the day, I think will definitely have a very real impact on lowering costs, because you sort of have it, you know, front and center. More readily available than maybe you did in the past.
Well, Jason, we are happy that when they file those reports, you read them and crunch the numbers and then report them in the Triangle
Business. They can be mind-numbing sometimes, let me tell you.
And report them in the Triangle Business Journal and come here to talk about it. Thanks so much, Jason.
Always a pleasure to be here.
Jason DeBruin is a reporter for the Triangle Business Journal. Just ahead, a Chapel Hill native's classical music career inspired a new television hit series. We're going to talk to Blair Tindall about Mozart in the Jungle. On the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Stay tuned.